Okay, Na'ale Land, we begin our profiteering. We're going to learn inside the Navi Tzfanya. This, of course, is a great yeshivish expression, learning inside. Years ago, I was a Rebbe in Or Sameach, and one of the very adorable skits they put on the Perm Spiel was, the way it works in Or Sameach is that at 6:30 in the evening, the new guys learn with the old guys. New guys means you just scraped off the wall. You come inside with the high-top hiking boots, the backpack the size of a telephone booth, slogan t-shirts, and the old guys means you're a veteran there. It means you're there at least 2 weeks. So they describe the scene where this new guy comes with the scene I just described, his slogan t-shirt, shorts, a backpack the size of a phone booth. He comes inside and he's looking for his kabusa. What's a kabusa? Oh, chavrusa. Okay, study partner. Fine. He's looking for this guy. His name is David Klein. He sees this guy, hubba, 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 hiya, 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 three-piece suit, with a hat on, black hat, flying, yeah, yeah, yeah. She says, I'm a kabushi, you're my what? I need to figure out the study partner. Okay, sit down. So first you see the old guy, the veteran, he's shuckling back and forth. New guy starts shuckling also. And the guy starts shuckling like this, and like this, and like this. And you see him going, Allah, Allah, getting green in the face. And you see he's about to, getting seasick. And then he switches, shuckling like this, starts getting more sick. Okay, then he says, okay, the old guy, the veteran says, okay, we're going to learn inside. And he goes, Where else would we learn? Kind of chilly out there. Oh, we're not going to learn outside. But why are we going outside? No, we're going to learn inside, not outside. And all these yeshivish expressions, which are very humorous. He said, put your finger here, put your finger in here, put your finger over here. Okay, let's go. We're learning inside. The Navi begins. Devar Hashem asher haya al Tzfanya ben Kushi ben Gedalia ben Amaria ben Chizkiya bimei Yoshiyahu ben Amon melech Yehuda. This is the word of the Lord which comes to Tzfanya, the son of Kushi, son of Gedalia, the son of Amariah, the son of Chizkiah, and the days of Yoshia, the son of Amon, who was the king of Yehuda. All right. Where are we? The beginning. So we've explained already last time, four generations back, to trace him back to the only Navi where we have go back so many generations, to trace the Yichlis back to Chizkiah, who is probably, says the Ibn Ezra, Chizkiah Melech. Second pasuk. Here we go. We begin already, get to the point. Asof asef kol me'al pnei hadama, Ne'um Hashem. I will utterly consume all things from off the face of the earth. Me'al adama means the face of the earth. In our instance, we're talking about adama means the land of Israel. The holy land of Israel. Everything is going to be destroyed. And what does everything mean? As we continue pasuk gimel. Asef adam uveima. I will consume man and beast. Asef of Hashamayim, the birds of the heavens, Udgai Hayam, and the fish of the sea. Mamach Shelos Es Harushoyim Vichrati Ven Etz Ha'adam Me'al Pnei Hadamat Ne'um Hashem. And the stumbling blocks with the wicked, and I will cut off man from off the face of the earth, thus saith the Lord. Total destruction. This is the day of God. Why the fowl? Why the fowl? And it could be either not literally, the fowl will be destroyed, or literally, because I will destroy the fowl from the heavens, meaning fowl do not go to wastelands. They only go to lands which are settled, which have fruit, which have seeds, so they won't be coming over here. And the stumbling blocks of the evil. The devices whereby the wicked bring people to sin will be destroyed. With the wicked. The wicked will be destroyed, their devices will be destroyed. And the wicked will stumble on the stumbling blocks, and they shall die. So the Navi categorizes into groups those people who will be destroyed. As we see in Pasuk Dalid. Venatati et yadi al Yehuda. And I will stretch out my hand upon or against Yehuda. Val kol yoshve Yushalayim, and all the inhabitants of Yushalayim. Vichrati minam komazet, and I will cut off the remnants of Eshar HaBaal, the remnants of Baal. It was an unusual expression. I'm going to cut off the remnants of Baal. Baal, was a very popular Avodah Zarah. Let me just finish the pasuk. Es Shem HaKramim Imekohanim. The name of the idolatrous priests, with the priests. Who was Baal? Baal was that had tremendous impact on the inhabitants of the land of Israel. Those you remember from Malachim, this is the great showdown. In my opinion, the most dramatic, hardly an expert, the most dramatic story I know from all of Tanakh, where there's the face down between Eliyahu HaNavi, Bahar Carmel, and the Nevi'e HaBaal. A quick reminder, what happened was there was a tremendous Baal problem in the land of Israel. Eliyahu decides to take the born by the bull by the horns and deal with it. He says, okay, you Baal people, tomorrow, Har Carmel, once and for all, we're going to settle this, be there. It's going to be the great showdown. So what happens was it's 250 Nevi'e HaBaal, 250 priests of Baal and Eliyahu Navi, and all the Jewish people gather below, the great showdown. And he gives them these words of warning. Well, before we get to that. So what happened was, is that we want to prove who is the true God. Is it Baal, Rahman Slan, or is it God himself? God. Who is the true God? So the other says, we'll do the following. We will take a ox, we'll place him on the altar. We're not going to light a fire. And whoever can bring down a fire from heaven will know that that is the true God. Whoever, be it Baal, be it the Lord, whoever can do that, they'll know they are the true God. So they flip a coin and the Baal team wins the toss. All of Israel is below and the Baal prophets put the animal on the altar and they go, give me a B, give me an A, give me an A, give me an L. Baal, 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 give me Baal, 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 Baal. Nothing's happening. And they're going, whoa, 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 Baal, 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 Baal. And Eliyahu was having the time of his life. He said, listen to these guys. Listen to these guys. Pathetic. And he's laughing away. And they're going crazy. And meanwhile, it's getting later and later. And the sundown is beating down upon them. And he says, maybe you should say it louder. Maybe Baal is in the bathroom. I couldn't make this up. Maybe he's in the John. Baal, give me Baal, give me B, give me A, B, A, give me A, give me an L. Nothing's happening. And Eliyahu says, then the leader goes on. They start taking their spears. They start piercing themselves, and blood is coming out. And Eliyahu says, ooh, I love that shtick. Do that shtick again where you cut itself. I love it. And he's laughing and laughing. And he's having such a good time. Finally, bzzz, the buzzer goes, and now it's time for Eliyahu Navi. So the first thing he does, he takes buckets and buckets and buckets and buckets and buckets and buckets, and he's tossing them on the altar, buckets and buckets and buckets and buckets. And they go, this is a very bad idea. If you want to bring down a fire from heaven, it is a very bad idea to douse it and drench it in water. Buckets and buckets and buckets and buckets and buckets. And he goes, okay. And then thunder and lightning comes down, fire comes down, and burns the animal to a crisp. Everyone falls on their knees. Hashem hu Elokim, Hashem hu Elokim. And those famous words of Eliyahu Navi. Ad masay tamposel mishnei seifim. He says to the people, you have to understand, once and for all, how long are you going to straddle the fence? Him Hashem hu Elokim, as he says, I'm sorry, before this, the showdown. Him Hashem hu Elokim, if the Lord is a God, luchu acharav. And if Baal is the God, go after him, but you can't straddle the fence. You got to make up once and for all. It's the real deal, and if you do believe in God, it's all the way. We're going to see there's a problem over here with the people. They believe it. There are all different sections. There's some who believe a little bit, some believe a lot, but some can believe, but they'll act just in the opposite because they're making money in the deal. So the first thing is the Shar HaBaal. Shar HaBaal are the professionals, the one who are making money on the Avodah Zarah. These are the professional clergy. They have vested interests to keep the Avodah Zarah going. There's a lot of people making money. It's very easy to raise money for Avodah Zarah. It's very hard to raise money for yeshiva. It's hard to raise money for the real thing, but for some fake, unimportant thing, that's where the money streams in. Now, even if they don't believe in it, it was financially worthwhile. Worthwhile for them. I'm trying to remember Rabbi Beryl Wein gave an interesting analogy of this with a story from Rav Chaim Zimmerman, Zichron Levracha. To tell it to you and without quoting it, well, his bottom line was that people can, that, you know, even if they don't believe in the Avodah Zarah, at least, you know, it's a good parnasa. That was the point. It's a parnasa. Right? This is the problem today when people separate. It's called in America, this story goes like this. There was a professional thief, this is called in Yiddish as a Shtot Ganef, who was seen heavily laden with stolen items heading directly for the rabbi's house. And as soon as the rabbi saw him coming right away, he locked the door and latched the windows, but he wasn't quick enough. Thief came with all these stolen items. The rabbi said, whoa, 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 what are you doing? He said, what do you mean, what am I doing? He said, whoa, 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 what are you doing? What do you mean, what am I doing? He said, don't you remember? Remember what? Well, last Shabbos in Shul, he spoke about the mitzvah of returning stolen items, and I know such a mitzvah, I'm all excited. And the rabbi couldn't believe it. First of all, he couldn't believe anyone listened to what he said, but of all people, the village thief, He felt very remiss that he had condemned this thief in the courtrooms of his mind. He escorted him outside the door, and a few minutes later the rabbi looked to see what time it is, but his watch was missing. Sneaking suspicion overcame him. He ran down the block, encountered the village thief, and he said, "Tell me, did you steal my watch?" Thief nodded his head sheepishly, "Yes," and the rabbi said, "You know, I can't figure you out. Just a few minutes ago, you come to my house and say you want to fulfill the mitzvah of returning stolen items. Then you go and steal my watch." Thief looked at him, total incredulity. "I can't figure you out. One's a mitzvah, one's my parnasa. Or as it's known in America, one's business, one's religion." And this is the issue over here. These are the Sha'ar Habal. They don't necessarily believe in it, but it's a living. They're making a big parnasa out of it. And so therefore they can't get rid of it. We find this phenomenon so often. People know things are wrong, but it's a source of income, and you just somehow swallow it and keep on going. Here's a good example. Again, this is an example I heard from Rabbi Beryl Wein. The tobacco industry in America. Everyone knows that tobacco is only trouble. It means disease, death, cripples the medical establishment, erases the bills of insurance, not to mention the horror of those people who undergo cancer, which is so being burned alive, they suffering, the family suffering, suffering, pain, torture, terror, gefährlich. And the way to stop this is just outlaw tobacco. That would be solve the problem. But it means wiping 4 or 5 states off the map because their income is so decidedly dependent upon tobacco. So even though we know it's wrong, but people are making money on it. Can't put them out of business. Okay. So who do we have? Who are our groups? Vesamishtachavim pasakei. Vesamishtachavim al hagagos litzva hashamayim. Those that worship the hosts of the heavens upon the housetops. They worship all the luminous, the stars, the moon, the sun. These are the real whacked out fanatics. Why, all 9 yards, oh Swami, to get onto the roof, oh, the gods, the moon, give me, you know, what a great avodah zarah, oh, look at that star, I want to bow down 50 times, gevaldik, and that star 49 times, what a star. V'samishtachavim hanishbayim l'Hashem. And then you have them that worship, they worship, not necessarily the proper worship, hanishbayim l'Hashem, and they swear by the name of the Lord. And then you have Hanishbayim b'malkam, who swear out by their king, meaning the following. 3 groups. There are those, the first group are those, the professionals. The professionals who are making money on the deal, they're professional clergy, and, you know, I'm not a big, you know, the story where the fellow kid goes into the supermarket, into the department store, in the end of December. And a Jewish kid, and he sees all the other boys are going onto Santa's lap and asking for a request. And so this Jewish kid goes over, and Santa says to him, "What would you like for Christmas?" He says, "I'm Jewish." He said, there was a parnasa. He becomes Santa, it's a parnasa. Reminded of the story of Ellie Katz from Ellie Katz, by the way, today is the mayor of Teaneck. He's a pretty accomplished individual, the son of our favorite Reb Simcha Katz. So Ellie Katz, the story goes, Ellie had to fly to Los Angeles, and this was December 25th, and Simcha Katz says to his son, you know, he calls up to him upstairs, "Listen, we got to go to the airport, the flight's leaving." And he's delayed and delayed. He says, "Ellie, we got to go. Finally, he comes downstairs dressed as ho, ho, ho on December 25th. They go to the airport, and Ellie goes to the front of the line, and he says, "I want a ticket, first class seat to Los Angeles." He said, "But you have an economy seat, but yes, on December 25th, Santa always travels first class. You got a point," and they give him a first class seat. And here he is, it's a flight, he's going, traveling to a wedding, he's not the only one on this flight, of his friends leaving from Teaneck, going to California for the wedding, and he takes a walk during the flight, you know, to the back of the plane, goes to the economy section, dressed up as ho-ho-ho, and he goes to Rivka, and he says, "Rivka, regards from Chaim, your chassan, And people can't believe it. Santa's giving them regards from the chassanim. And then the waitress goes in the first class, who has ordered a glatt kosher meal, and Santa raises his hand. I mean, he's a very big shtickster. But in any event, there are the professionals who want to make money on the deal. Those are the Shar Habal. Then there are those that are fanatically believers. They are mishtachim al hagogos. They are the ones who bow down. And then you have mishtachavim hanishbaim lashem. They bow down to the Avodah Zarah, but they swear by God. They're confused. This is the prevalent among Jews to this very day. They're basically believers, but their actions belie their belief. They have, you know, we once said there are three types of Jews. There's the gastronomic Jew, the Jew who likes chopped liver, gefilte fish. There's the cardiac Jew, the one who thinks they're Jewish at heart. And then there's the alimony Jew. I think this I heard from Rabbi Moshe Tendler. The alimony Jew is the one who's willing to pay for it, but they'll be damned if they'll live with it. So over here we have those that are willing to, they'll bow down to the Avodah Zarah. They'll go through all the shtick, but in their heart of hearts, they believe that the God, Hashem Hu Elokim, He is the Lord. And then there's those, the Nishboim B'Malkom, that they're not even confused. They're swearing by those, Nishboim B'Malkom. They know they'll go by the king. So then we have, in the very same pasuk, Ves HaNasogim, no, HaNasogim is the next pasuk. Ves HaNasogim Me'acharei Hashem, those that turn their back from following the Lord. Listen to these words. Asher lo vikshu es Hashem velo darshuhu. They did not seek out the God, they did not inquire after God, and they did not seek in order to inquire after Him. Now you would think this is a level far, far inferior. You know, these are not tzaddikim, but listen here. They're not bowing down, they're not doing the wrong thing, they're just not seeking God. They're not actively engaging in a hands-on, proactive search for God. But what does the Navi say? These two people were caught up in the Yad Hashem. These are the quitters. Nasogim Me'acharei Hashem. They go back, they fall back. They are the quitters, they're ready to drop off. They're not in it for the whole nine yards. They fall back. That's people that are also going to be caught up in the Yom Hashem. V'lo darshuhu, d'lo drashuhu. They did not seek God, even though they don't worship the idols. But they saw no purpose in seeking God. They are including those who will fall and on the stumbling blocks, and they will perish. That is what's going to happen. Asher lo bikshu, they don't call out to God, they don't pray to God. They don't request any etzah from God, any Torah from God. They just go on in their lives, and they don't take advantage. So we see in Pasuk Zayin, Has mipnei Hashem Elokim. Hold your peace in the presence of the Lord God. Ki karov Yom Hashem. Here we call it the Yom Hashem. It will be called different ways in 23 different times in the Navi, but he calls it the Yom Hashem. The great day of God, the day of reckoning. This is, well, I don't know what D-Day means. I know what D-Day means, but I don't know what the D stands for, but don't know if it's destruction. But the Yom Hashem means this is it. God is going to settle the score. Ki heichen Hashem zevach hikdish kruav. The Lord has prepared a sacrifice and He has consecrated His guests. What does this mean? Well, quiet. Has, be quiet. Hashem, God, He is the master of all the universe. Ki karov yom Hashem, this day of judgment, it's finally coming now. And the Navi is preaching to him, you better watch. This is going to happen now. Ki echin Hashem zevach, God has prepared the meal, and hikdish, He has invited kruav, those guests of His, which are going to come. There's a lovely saying that God has prepared a meal of the flesh of those who live in Yehuda. And inviting who are His guests, these are the enemies, are going to come and have a feast over the flesh of those who live in Judah. And the fowl, perhaps. They will be the ones who are going to feast on the corpses. They will be the guests. Either the enemy will be the guests, or the fowl will come and consume it. The fowl, the beasts of prey, the birds who prey on the corpses. The vultures will come. They will be the guests. They'll have a feast on the corpse and the flesh of the Jewish people. Okay, now, listen to these scathing words of the Navi. Ches. V'ya b'yom zevach Hashem ufakarti al hasarim v'al b'nei ha-melech v'al kol ha-lovosh, lovshim malbush nochrim. What's going to happen? And it will come to pass on the day of the Lord's sacrifice. And I will punish the princes, those people in office, the prestigious, the important, the officers, the parliamentarians, v'al b'nei ha-melech, and the king's sons, all those who have connection to the royal home, those officers who have wield and yield power, they'll call halov shim malbush nochri, those who wear the foreign clothing. There is a debate about clothing. Do we need it for utilitarian purposes, or is it just for functional purposes, or is it just for modesty? Meaning, do we need clothing to be modest, to warm ourselves? Or is there an ideological purpose? Let's say better. Is there utilitarian for purposes of making sure that you're properly attired, for purposes of modesty and for purposes of warmth? Or is it also, is there an ideological purpose to clothing as well? Now, Judaism maintains, obviously, that there is an ideological purpose. The proof would be tzitzis. Tzitzis serve no function. If you wear tzitzis when you play basketball, as I'm sure many of you women do, I'm sure you don't, many of you will play basketball, but not with tzitzis, it only gets in your way. So there's an ideological purpose. Chatneys. Do clothing that are free of chatneys, are they anywhere superior to clothing which has no chatneys? The answer is no. I know this because when I wrote my book on the Boston Rebbe, I interviewed a clothing engineer from MIT who did a serious study on the advantages of clothing which are free of chatneys, and he concluded that there were no advantages. So it serves an ideological purpose. Bigdei kahuna. We know if a kohen does his avoda without wearing the proper clothing, it is avoda psula. Now, why is it that a kohen who does kmitza wearing the bigdei kahuna is any different than a kohen wearing sandals and t-shirt who does kmitza? Because there's an ideological purpose to the clothing. And the chassid looks at this and says, aha, ahi, ahu, because chassidim, their pronunciation is different than ours. We say alukaina, they say alukaini. My friend of mine told me he was learning in Tells, which is not a chassidic yeshiva in any which way. He's learning in Tells, and a chassid was passing by. He wanted to daven for the yom, but they didn't want to let him daven because his pronunciation was different. He said, don't worry, I'll do it your way. So he gets up. Tilas Hashem yidaber pu. He messed it up from the very beginning. So in any event, so he looks at this chassid and says, ahi, ahu, ahu. And he fuses this with the medrash that we were in Mitzrayim, we not only were different in our talk, but also we wore different clothing. I see there's an ideological purpose to clothing, and that's why chassidim wear different clothing. But what is the Navi scathing about? You wear clothing trying to mimic the ways of the non-Jews. The very foundation of which made us always separate is that we have unique clothing to ourselves. You want to dress in the inappropriate way of the non-Jews. You want to mimic their ways. Hence you put on their clothing, which imitates them. Different than it's been for generations and generations of the Jewish people. And these sons of the officers, those sons of the kings, they would mimic and imitate the ways of the non-Jews, even in their clothing. So these are the, what does it mean skipping over the threshold? These are the people who, I'm sorry, the beginning of the Pasuk. Oh no, I'm sorry, the next Pasuk, I'm so sorry. The next Pasuk. These, like in our time, people who are mesmerized by the Western culture, by the affluential, who are just enthralled by the non-Jews. Their great dream is to be like the non-Jews, enthralled by them. So we have Pasuk Tes. Ufakarti al kol hadoleg al miftan bayom ha'u. Hamamalim beis adunehim hamas umirma. Hamas is a word we all know, and how ironic it is that the word hamas is just so appropriate, like the terror organization of just spilling blood and destruction. It means the following Pasuk Tes. In the same day, I will punish all those who sleep over the threshold, skip over the threshold, those that fill their master's house with violence, hamas, umirma, and deceit, and duping, and misleading. Meaning, what does it mean skipping over the threshold? Just like in our time, there are Jews who are mesmerized by Western culture. They skip over the threshold. They are Jewish without any commitment to their religion. This is what we used to call, when I was a kid, the Yisker Jews, the ones who come to Shul three times a year to say Yisker on Rosh Hashanah. They say Yisker on Yom Kippur, they'll come on the other Yom Tovim. They'll rush in just the time of Yisker, and they'll say Yisker, and they'll rush out to the cars and drive home. It's a Rachmanis in them, of course, but these are Jews that skip over the threshold. They don't have that commitment which grounds them into the Judaism. So he's getting again, These are people who skip over the threshold. These are the Avodah Zarahniks. These are people who put a pestle, a Avodah Zarah, an idol, right in the very entrance of their homes, that will watch over their homes. Therefore, when they come to the house, they don't walk over the threshold, they jump over it in honor and deference for this Avodah Zarah, for this idol they have placed there. So on this day of the sacrifice, on those days that God, those people are jumping over the threshold, what's going to happen? Chamas u'mirma, violence and deceit. Those people who took from the nation with violence, those who took duped the people, they'll have a reckoning on that day. That's what's going to happen. Pasuk Yud. Vaya vayomahu ne'um Hashem kol tz'aka mishar hadagim vilala min ha-mishneh v'shever gadol mehagvaot. Meaning, on that day, says the Lord, there'll be a cry from the fish gate and a wailing sound from the quarter, from the second quarter, a great crashing from the hills. What's going on over here? What's going on is, on that very day, you're going to hear the cry. And it's going to come from the gate of the fish. So either one of the gates, the gates can be interpreted as either gate in Yerushalayim, which is called the fish gate, or it would mean Akko, Acre, where that's where they catch the major fish, where people catch the fish and then sell them to the people, or it says the quarter in Yerushalayim, Min HaMishnah, the second gate, that's a quarter in Yerushalayim, or it could mean refer to Lud, V'Shever Gadol, Shever Gadol meaning a great crashing was going to come from the hills. A great sound of crashing, which implies either there's going to be destruction or there will be just a disaster from the north, right? Like we said in the beginning of Yirmiyah, will come this great crashing sound of all those marauders coming to destroy the land. They'll come from the hilltops, they'll go everywhere. So as they come, what do we hear? We hear in Pasuk Yud. Vayavayomahu ne'um Hashem kol tz'aka mishar hadagim. I'm sorry, we did this. We will hear Heilili Yoshe HaMachtesh. Way, these inhabitants of Machtesh. Heilili. Kidin mekol ha'am kenam nichrasu kol netilei chesef. We learn out that inhabitants of Machtesh should cry out. All the merchant people are undone. Those that were laden of silver have been cut off. Heilili. Heard from Rabbi Barry Schaefer that you notice at a wedding they go la 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 la, the Sfardia la 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 la. So this means the following. It means that what happened was is that when Lavan did his Rama'ut to trick Yaakov and he replaced Leah with Rachel, so the people were trying to indicate and go Hilea, 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 meaning Hilea, 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 that's what they're saying. Over here it's not just a question of fraud. It's greater than that. There is a crying out in the valley, low down below. And an enemy has broken the northern gate. This is the gate of the fish. He's now come to the second quarter, which is on the western side, next to the wall, on top of the mountains, from the west and from the east. They go down to the quarry to complete their capturing. And there you hear the la 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 la. This is the victory sound of their when they're inflicting their destruction. Everything will be destroyed. And on the Am Kanaan of the people of Canaan, that's the people who live in the land of Canaan, he calls them Canaan in the sense of derision. It's a low title. Because that means the people of Israel were doing the kind of acting of not of Bnei Yisrael, but rather they're acting like Canaanites. Canaanites always in connotes, you know. Canines, very inappropriate behavior. A canine also refers to someone who deals in business in a very unethical way. You cannot trust his word. That's what a canine means, a Philistine. Not a Philistine, not a fool, but rather one who is not honest in his business. Nichrutu, they're cut off, destroyed. Kesef, all these things which they're carrying will be taken from them unjustifiably. They'll be robbed, they'll be plundered. Everything will be taken. Yud Beis. V'haya be'eis ahi achapes es yishlayim b'neiros. What an unbelievable expression of Hakadi es ha'anoshim. Ha'koyfim al shimreihem. Ha'omrim bilvavam lo yetiv Hashem v'lo yarei. And it will be on that day. Let's get this very, very important pasuk. And it will come to pass on that time that I'll search Jerusalem with the lamps, with the candles. I'll search through the streets. I'll search Jerusalem with lamps. I'll punish the men that are settled on their... Shimrei means the dregs. That say in their heart, the Lord will not do good, neither will he do evil. What's going on over here? So the Gemara learns out from here. This is where we learn out the mitzvah of Blikas Chametz. I'm just going to ask the Na'aleh staff if they could please turn around the camera, so we can see a little bit what's going on over here. So, on that day, God will punish them. He's going to punish the people who are not afraid of the Day of Judgment. They are quiet like wine. Wine that does not yet begin to bubble, just calm, tranquil. That's perhaps the like wine in the barrel, very calm and tranquil. And they think in their hearts that God cannot do good, God cannot do bad. Just God is removed from us, and then things will be okay, because God is not going to intervene, because he doesn't have the power to do anything. So we're going to search the streets of Jerusalem, which means very, very meticulous. I'm going to go everywhere with the candles. I'll get down. What an image. God coming out with the candles to find you wherever you may be. Like we learned chametz, you find any little crumb of chametz, then everyone will be caught. Even those who hide in their hearts, who sin in their hearts, God with the candle will find them also. Nothing will enable a person to escape from the destruction. From here we learn Apidikas Chametz. And it means people hakofim al shirim, that are frozen on their dregs. These are people that are frozen in their place. They are unwilling to improve themselves. They're frozen. Dregs at the bottom of the barrel. They don't want to get any better. They know what they should do, but listen here, I'm not going to work, I'm not going to roll up my sleeves. This is the way it is. I believe in a God, but he has nothing to do with me. There's nothing he can do. He doesn't do good, he doesn't do bad. God's not going to intervene. But we'll see the Navi's going to say, on the contrary, that's going down. He will intervene. He's going to destroy their capital. He will destroy their possessions. Pasuk Yud Gimel. And here we see what's going to happen. V'achelam lemeshisa uvateyam lishmama uvanuvatim velo yeshvu venatu chramim velo yishtu eshenam. What will happen? What happened will be the following. Their houses will become desolation, ripped apart. They shall build houses, but they shall not inhabit them. As we all know, this is the curse. Who is absolved from going to battle? The one who just built the house and didn't yet have the satisfaction of being able to be housed in the house, go into the house, get some pleasure from the house. No different than a man who just gets married and has a chance to be with his wife. But here is the ultimate. They will build the homes. They'll build the homes, and they will not dwell within them. They'll plant vineyards, but they have no chance to drink the wine. All the things it's alluding to what it says in Devarim, the people who will be absolved from going to battle. God is going to intervene and destroy their capital and destroy their possessions. Their wealth, what they own, all will be destroyed. It's going to go shmama to total destruction. In other words, you'll plant vineyards and you will not reap the grapes, meaning, even if you build homes, you will not get a chance to live within them. Even if you plant vineyards, you'll not get a chance to drink their wine. This is one of the clauses we find in the Torah. It's a curse from the Torah. It's a Torah curse. To do this work and not be able to enjoy the benefit. So then what do we hear? So, Yud Dalid, we hear, Krov Yom Hashem HaGadol, the great day of God's destruction, the day of God is coming, the great day of the Lord is near. Krov Maherim Ha'od, it's coming quickly, it's hastening to come. Kol Yom Hashem, beware, it's going to happen now, all will be destroyed. The great day of God, Mar Tzoreach Sham Gibor. Where is the mighty man who's going to be crying bitterly? I think that speaks for itself. Number Tesvav. Yom Evra HaYom Ahu. This is the day of wrath, of tremendous distress. Yom Tzara Umtzuka, distress, trouble. Yom Shoah Umshoah, day of dark, day of wasteness and desolation. In other words, Yom Shoah, we know we got from here the word Shoah, the Holocaust. Umshoah means even worse destruction, total desolation. Yom Choshech Va'afela, a day of darkness and gloominess. Yom Anan Varafel. Listen to the way Tzvanya paints the picture of this day of genocide, destruction, darkness, glibness, cloudiness, darkness. There's no light. It's all destruction. There's no words of consolation whatsoever in this parak. This is the end. What's going to happen? It's metaphysical. It's like the day itself has darkened. Yom Choshech, like the day itself. I mean, the day the sun is out, but it's like the day itself has become dark. Yom Anan Va'arafel, a day of destruction. Now we have this day of judgment is going to be a day of great suffering for all people. Tremendous destruction. Yom Shoah Umeshoah. Tezayin. Yom Shafar Srua Al Ha'arot Habtsurot. Yapinot Hagvahot. A day, well, let's get this straight. That is the day when there's going to be the shofar, there's going to be the alarm against the fortified cities and against the high towers, meaning that as a rule, the enemy will blow the shofar as an alarm before they attack their enemy. The enemy is going to come attack in Judah, the Jewish people. He'll be blowing the shofar, which is terrifying. What the Nazis did when they swept down upon Poland, September 1st, 1939, the Poles were taken totally by surprise. They had no armament to defend themselves against the Germans. So German pilots came down in planes and they just would strafe, shoot people indiscriminately in the streets. Of course, their favorite target were Jewish areas, of centers of Jewish inhabitation. But what they did was, which was especially terrifying, is they put a siren on, they loaded a siren onto the plane. And when it swept down, you heard this, which the sound also made a terrible sound of the siren coming in. As you hear it coming in of the plane, it was just not only the rat-tat-tat-tat-tat, but the noise of that siren. It was just made people like Bambi in the headlights, the deers in the headlights, from the frightening fear the Germans did. So here also, Yom Shofar Yisrua, on that day there will be the sounding of the horn and the alarm as they attack the fortified cities. Rim Habtsurot, Vel Apinot Hagvahot, and the towers that are tall. As a rule, the towers, Hapinot means the corner. The towers usually are located at the corner of the fortress. That's usually how the tall towers at the corners of the fortress. Hence, it means the corner. Okay, time is lapsing. Let's hurry up. Number Yud Zayin. Vatzerosi la'adam v'halchu ki'ivrim ki la'shem chatu v'shupach damam ke'afar. And I'll bring distress upon men. They shall walk like the blind, because they have sinned against the Lord, and their blood shall be poured out as dust. Shupach damam ke'afar, poured out like dust, ulchumam kaglalim, and their flesh will be tossed like dung, which means the following. It's indiscriminate. It means like dust. Dust is indiscriminately strewn in the streets. No one wants only dust. Nobody wants dust. It's thrown in the streets. It's just totally invaluable. Likewise, their blood will be shed indiscriminately, like dust in the street. Nobody wants it. Blood will be everywhere. And not only where there might not save them, but also, So they will be like Hachuk Ivrim, like blind people. One more time. Vatzirosi la'adam. Vatzirosi la'adam, which means that they will walk like the blind. So, who is this? La Adam means the man. So the Gemara says in Yevamos that Adam always refers to the Jewish people. Atem kroyim Adam vein akum kroyim Adam. You were called man, the non-Jews are not called man. The Rav explained, Rabbi Salvej explained that the Taisus and Abai Vemto and Yevamos, that what's the difference between Taisus and Otam? What's the difference between Adam and Ha-Adam? What's the difference between Goy and a non-Jew? It's the Hay. Adam means the Jewish people. Whenever Torah says Atam Kroim Adam, whenever Torah says Adam, it refers to a Jew. Whenever it says Ha-Adam, it refers to a non-Jew. What's the difference? So the Rav explained like this. Let's say, it's the difference is the hay, as Taisha says. What does that mean? Let's say they have to perform an autopsy. They need medical students to do an autopsy. Who are they going to cut up? They'll take some Bowery bum and they'll bring him into medical school to cut him up. You'll never find them do an autopsy on a senator or on a governor, some prestigious individual. They'll take some bum from the gutter. He's the one they'll cut up. Now, in the Jewish world, I'm saying this quickly because our time is almost over, who is the most prestigious person? That is the Kohen Gadol. And who is the lowest? The lowest one is The mace mishamesh ein lo krov of one who dies between two cities, he has no relatives. The Rav explained, ein lo krov, there's no one who is close to him. He's all by himself. So what is the din? He's the lowest in society. No one is close to him. And the Kohen Gadol is the highest. The Kohen Gadol, even on Yom Kippur, must be metam himself for a mes mitzvah and deal with him. What's the difference between Adam and Ha'adam? The difference is the hay. We don't have a saying, oh, the man. No, even the highest person, the Kohen Gadol, even on Yom Kippurim, can be metame himself. He can't be metame for Zion Krovim. He cannot defile himself. But if there's a mesh ein lo krov, the highest can be metame for the lowest. The difference is the hay. So we see over here that Adam means the Jewish people. So therefore, what we have is the Pasuk is saying us, they shall walk like the blind. The Jewish people will go like blind. Blind means they don't know how to extricate themselves. They're blind. They don't know how to get out of the situation. And their blood is spilled like dust, as we said. Dust meaning it's indiscriminately thrown in the streets. And their flesh like dung. Their flesh will be tossed like dung into the dung heaps. Like flesh into the flesh heaps. Heard this from Rabbi Keller from Chicago. That remarkable insight. That in Lakewood, I don't know much about this, Lakewood on the day, you know, before Pesach, the day when everybody has all their tremendous garbage from cleaning up, everyone knows this, you know, so much you go, every time you send another kid out to the garbage to take out the things you find and clean up for Pesach. So in Lakewood, what they do is that the city of Lakewood, the municipality, brings a dumpster to the from neighborhoods, which are significant. They bring these, you know, industrial dumpsters, and people come out to throw out their garbage, and the mayor is standing there at the dumpster, and he's shaking everybody's hands, wishing everybody a happy holiday. Chaim Zalkel said, Rabbanu Shel Olam. Just 60 years ago, they're throwing Jews into the garbage. Jews they're throwing into the garbage. Now look what happened. The mayor is standing at the garbage and blessing every happy holiday as they throw out their trash. In any event, the Navi is saying that the Jews will be like, their flesh will be like dung you throw into dung heaps. No value in it. Throw into the garbage. You know, I had wanted to finish this perek, but to my chagrin, we're going to have to stop here. Well, all right, let's speed read the last one. We'll just do it real quickly. Yurches, the final pasuk. Gam kaspam gam zahavam lo yuchal hatzilam b'yom evras Hashem. Their money, their gold, their silver, their acquisitions, all their valuables. Lo yuchal hatzilam cannot save them or deliver them on the day of God's wrath. B'yom evras Hashem, day of God's wrath. Ve'esh kin oso tayachal kol ha'aretz. And he'll make the whole earth be devoured by the fire of his jealousy. He'll make an end, a terrible end. Ki yuchal Ach nivhala ya'aseh, a terrible end, as called Yoshe Arist, to all those who dwell on the earth. Which means, well, you can't get more specific than this, it's pretty straightforward what's going to happen. It's all over. Even their money cannot save them. Not their money, not their bribes, everything being ineffectual, because in this day, it's for keeps. God's going to destroy. I'm sorry, on this very sad note, we end our the Navi's description of Yom Hashem, what's going to happen, total destruction, and it won't be quite a while yet, and the Navi will come to the consolation. Until we meet again, Shalom.